The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Uri Nidam, Hashem Yishmeru V'Chayehu, in honor of all the members of the Minyan, all the members of the Daf HaYomi, and in honor of the Rabbi, Tiskel Mitzvot. May he continue to succeed. Atzlaha v'arvaha b'chol ma'asi yadav. Amen.
Nidarim daf chavchet. Today's daf is being studied in the Shvat Avram ben Esther. רוח השם תניחנו בגני עדן אמן. תראה, דבר זמין סתר לרפואה שלמה. שלמה בן מרים, שאול חי גבריאל בן שרה, שרה בת רחל, יוסף בן שרה, תינוק בן דינה. אין נא רפואה להם, אין נא רפואה להם, אין נא רפואה להם, רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף. רפואתם קרבה לבוא וכן ירסום ולומר אמן. We begin today's דף על כ"ז עמוד ב', starting at the נו משנה, נודרין. We make נדרים. להרגין ולחרמין ולמוכסין שהיא תרומה אף על פי שאינו תרומה. What is this case referring to? רש"י, רש"י ר"ן, נודרים להרגין. What is הרגין? לשון הרג. ללסטים ישראל, Jewish bandits שהורגים בני אדם. That they kill. So therefore, guys coming to you or to somebody, and he says, you know, if you don't give me this money over here, I'm going to kill. So what happens? The guy says, I can't give you this money over here, it's terumah. And he makes a neder. I'll show you it's terumah. If this is not terumah, I won't eat this item. I won't do this thing. He makes a neder to show that the item is terumah. It seems, and the Rishonim speak this out, that the listim, while they're not so careful on murder, but for some reason they're not going to eat teruma, because teruma is already hayav mita bide shamayim. So he's scared of the teruma. So once he knows that the item is teruma, he's he'll back off. That's the way the Rishonim learn. He says over here in the Tosafot. הורגים נפשות על הסכם ממון ולחרמים רן מחרימים ושוללים. מחרימים is they're less dangerous than the הרגין. מחרימים, they take things, they seize items, and they שולל, they plunder. Okay, that would be the חרמים, also like bandits. ולמוכסין רן, מוכסין is the tax collector, להתפטר מן המכס, when he wants to keep away from the tax collector. And what is he doing in all these cases? He says that this item is teruma, for pishenu teruma. Now the Tosfot, like I was reading before, says shem shel teruma. V'tomar hatina chargin v'charmin shegozlim mamon v'atak eshamar lem shem shel teruma lo yigzelu otam de'enam mitkevenim ki'im legzol ve'lo le'isura kevan she'ena ruya la'achila lezarim. Which means these guys, they're not, they'll murder, but they're not murder, they'll steal. But when it comes to eating something that's isur, like teruma, can't eat it to the zarim, so they're going to be careful on this. Aval moksim mayani le'olam yishael amekish ala mekes. What do the moksim care? Since the moksim are less caring, they'll take anything. V'yesh lomar she'lo yu rigilim likach mekes zeh memodichei teruma lekohanim. They didn't take teruma. That was, it seems, the regilut of the moksim as well. And therefore, anybody that was bringing teruma to the kohanim was like tax exempt. They wouldn't take that for taxes. Okay, so that's why the guy is saying teruma in all these cases. Now, he doesn't want to make a teruma, but afal pi she'eno teruma. Okay. Shehen shel bet ha-melech. Or he makes a neder, and he comes along and says, these items over here, it's not my property. It belongs to the king. Even though it doesn't belong to the king, but he's doing it to get away from the hergin and the haramin and the moksin. So it says, "Bechamay omrim bakol nodrin chutz mebeshivua ubetelel omrim af beshivua." Which means, Bechamay, I agree with this first part of the mishnah. You can make this nid. You can say, "Kunam davar ze alai." If this is not terumah, because you want to impress upon the guy that it really is terumah, but you can't make a shivua. He can't say, I swear that this item is teruma, because shivuot are more hamur, and the Ran writes, the hamira dikhtiv be, oba lo yinakeh. That already is lo yinakeh, that is more more serious. However, Betanel comes along and says, av bishvu'ah. In this case over here, to save the goods, you're not even say, you know, shivu'ah, that this item is going to be asur to me, if this thing is not the tiruma. Even by shivu'ot, which are hamur, Betanel says you're not to do it. Again, what are you saying? Shivu'ah, that this item is asur. You're not saying shivu'ah, that this is tiruma. Say shivu'ah, that's tiruma, that's shivu'ah chaf. You say shivu'ah, that this item is asur to me, if this is tiruma. And we say such a shivua is not even hal, because we know you're doing it under the premise of, because you're scared of what's going to happen if the guy's going to take your property. Okay. Bet Shammai Amrim, next machloket. Lo yiftach lo benedir. Bet Hillel Amrim, af yiftach lo. Bet Shammai says, you cannot initiate this situation, which means don't offer to make a neder if he doesn't ask you to make a neder. Just tell the guy it's teruma. The guy doesn't bother you, but don't continue. But don't offer information. Not only it's tiruma, but I'm going to make a ned that this is asur if that's not tiruma. Lo yiftach, don't initiate the situation. But then it says, adrabah, initiate it. Because you want to show the guy how much so that it's tiruma. So if he says, you know how much so it's tiruma, I'll even make a ned against something else that this is tiruma. So then Bet Hillel says, even yiftach, you can even initiate. Ran. Lo yiftach lo beneder im eno omer nedorli. Right, Bet Shammai says, don't make the neder unless he tells you to make the neder. Just don't do it on your own. Bet Hillel says no. Last machlokti Bet Shammai Bet Hillel. Bet Shammai omrim bema shehu madiro ubet Hillel omrim af bema sheeno madiro. Now we have a machloket. Let's say the guy says, listen, if it's really tiruma, make a neder that you're not going to have hana'a from your wife. So Bet Shammai says, okay, that's the neder that you make. Don't add anything. Because if you add anything, the addition will hal. The only vow that we say is not going to be hal is the vow that you had to make in order to protect the assets. So a guy comes along and says, not only am I going to say my wife cannot have hana'a, but my children also. Oh, I should have thrown your children in there. So Bet Shammai says, well, the wife will be mutar, because the vow is not hal. But the children are going to be asur. Because we didn't give you rights to make an extra vow that wasn't necessary. Bet Hillel says, no. Even though he told you only make a vow on the wife, to show the guy how much you want it to make to be believable, so you can say, not only am I going to save my wife, I'm going to save my children. And both nedarim are going to be mutar, according to Bet Hillel. So let's read that in the Mishnah. Ketzad. Amar lo, emor kunam ishti nehenitli. The bandit is telling him, say that vow, that my wife is forbidden to me. Kunam. Ve'amar kunam ishti ubanai nehenitli. He tells him his children as well. Bet Shammai omrim ishto muteret, because that vow goes off, that the Mishnah says, ubanav asurim. But the children are asur, because he shouldn't have added that. Bet Hillel omrim elu ve'elu mutarim. No. You can even add things, and we know the reason why you added. You added because you want to show the guy that's really not tiruma. It's also the same sevara, and therefore the neder is not hal. Comes the Gemara and begins, Ve'amar Shmuel, Dina de Malchuta Dina. What happened to the rule of the law of the land is the land? Who are we asking? Ron. Ech Yisharin Lemedar Ache Kede Lipater. Kevad min adin chayav liten lo ta meches. What does that mean? Guys, to pay taxes. Min adin, you're living in a land. The law is you have to follow the rules. So the taxes is not something that's illegal. I understand the guy's robbing from you. It's illegal. So if you can protect yourself, but here what? He's trying to divert himself from paying taxes. Dina de malchut adina. So you have to pay. What do you mean? This is teruma. We can't mean business teruma. Pay the money. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chenina, Amar Rav Kana Amar Shmuel, Bemoches She'en Lo Kitzba. First answer. Talking about a moches that has no set price, which means he's taking more than he should be taking, which means he doesn't have a fixed price. Second answer, we'll see the difference between the two answers in a moment. A self-appointed tax collector. And we will see the difference between the answers. V'kevan sheken lav dinahu ela hamsanuta v'hamsanuta d'malka lav dinahu. There's something that's called dinah d'malkut and hamsanut d'dinah. Hamsan means thievery of the government, which means when a guy comes along and he just assesses each guy, I'm taking this, whatever you can get out of him, he's paying more, he's paying less. Dinah d'malkut is when it's equal to all the citizens of the country. But now already, when it's not equal, there's no set price. He's paying 3%. He's paying 20%. He's paying for whatever the guy can get out of him. That's what he's taking. That's called hamsanut. That's already he's shaking each guy down for as much as money he can get. That's if it's a flat tax 6%, the whole government has to pay. Everybody living in this country pays. Okay, that's everybody's equal. But now already, where the guy's coming along and taking from each person a different amount. So what is he doing? It's hamster. Hamster is like it's he's forcing you to give the money, or he's grabbing, seizing the money from you. That's why he's not considered subject to the laws of the end of the Malkut Adina. Second answer, Ran. B'moches amid me'elav, self-appointed moches. Shelo b'mitzvat ha-melech. Right, he wasn't appointed by the government, by the king. Dechadu b'tosfot. Now he gives you the sevara of dinad malchuta dina. What's the pshat? Why is the law of the land the law? Why are you bound to the law of the land? So first Tosfot says that this only applies to goyim, which means when you're living in a exile outside of Eretz Yisrael, let's say, and you have a secular non-Jewish government. So what's the logic? Because the land belongs to them. V'yachol nomar lehem, im lo ta'asu mitzvotai, if you don't follow my laws, igarish etchem min ha'aretz. So therefore it's like you're paying rent. You're paying rent to the landlord. The government owns the land, let's say the king. It's his land, you're a guest. You have no halak in the land, so they have a right to go collect a tax for residency in the land. You don't pay that, you're in contempt. Dina de malchut adina. Aval b'malchei Yisrael, lo. Defi she'eretz Yisrael, Kol Yisrael shutafim ba. But Eretz Yisrael, you don't own the land more than I own the land. We're all partners in Eretz Yisrael. You cannot charge me for living in Eretz Yisrael. Echi amrin adina demalchut adina. And that which said in the malchut adina. Hani milel li'anyan. Shim kana Yisrael mecheze. Hayavim diten lo et ha-meches. Which means, the case we're talking about, let's say a Jew bought the rights from the government to collect the mechas. It seems that tax collectors, you could buy the contract even. They would pay the government a certain amount of money, let's say. So if he's an appointed tax collector, that he has the rights, and he bought the contract to collect the taxes, so then already he's considered legal. Or let's say he didn't buy the contract to collect taxes, but he was appointed by the king. Right, in that case over there, you can't swear that this is teruma, because you got to pay the taxes. See, the only time we allow you to divert is when the law of dinad malchuta is not taking place over you. Then you're considered an ones. Meaning, if the guy wasn't appointed by the government, so the guy's coming out, he's a robber now, basically. He's calling himself a tax collector, but he's a thief, basically. So he's taking money unauthorized by the government, but he's a tough guy, and therefore he has power. In that case over there, you can say, sorry, it's teruma. And you can make a nidir. Mashaik and the Ran is saying, if the guy's a legal guy, either he bought the contract or he's appointed by the government, so you can't come along and say, oh, sorry, it's teruma. That neder is going to be hal now, because you're not an honest. There you're obligated to pay. You know, you have to, you find out if the guy's, I guess there's ways to know if he's legal or not. Comes the Gemara and says, She'en shel bet ha-melech, al pi she'enam shel bet ha-melech. Or he makes a vow, right? These items are not my property. It belongs to Bet HaMelech, this stuff over here. Even though it doesn't belong to Bet HaMelech, he can say that now. So Gemara comes along and says like this. Hechi Nadar. How did he make this Neder? What was exactly the lashon of this Neder? Now, what's the question? So look at the Ran right away. Hechi Nadar. Lishnad matnitim kashile. The Gemara was bothered with the lashon of the Mishnah. Why? The Kamar nudrin shehem teruma. Vehechi sheyach nidra b'hai lishna. What do you mean? You're making a nidr that it's teruma? What kind of nidr is that? I mean, the language of the Mishnah doesn't make any sense. A nidr normally is kunam. This item is asur to me. What? Nudrim shehem teruma. You don't make a nidr out that something is teruma. Kolomar idamar yasru perot olam alai neolam, which means like this: if the guy said yasru perot olam alai, I'm just reading the line a little. If the guy came along and said, he attached something to the teruma, he came along and said, you know what, these perot are going to be asur for me forever if this is not teruma. And devarim shevalim mebatin mashem motzim mepiv. And you're relying on what you're thinking in your brain, devarim shebalev, to mevatel what you said, it will not work. Again, if a guy verbally expresses and says, perot elu ye'asru alai le'olam, these fruit are going to be forbidden forever, even though in his brain he's thinking, I'm just fooling around here because I want the guy to, you know, think it's teruma, doesn't matter. These fruit now are going to be asur le'olam, because we have a rule. Devarim shebalev enam devarim. The things that you're thinking in your heart are nothing, especially to overrule something that you spoke out. Afilu gabe unsa. Even in the case of onus. God's giving us rules here. Even though you're an onus over here, because the guy's trying to take your money. But if you're going to say explicit language and say, the perot elu yasru alai le'olam, you're stuck. That nid is an edit. You can't come along and say, well, in my heart I was thinking nothing. No, no. When you say the word, it's asul le'olam, finished. En devarim shebalev yichodim debatel, mashu simepiv. Elam, the case of ha'acha, stama ka'amar. You know what he said over here? Stama. Ye asru perot olam alai. He didn't say the word le'olam, forever. He just said, these fruit are going to be asur to me. Now, it could be interpreted one of two ways. They're going to be asur to me today, or they're going to be asur to me forever. That's called a stam language. V'nihi d'stama le'olam mashma. Now, stama could be mashma le'olam, to be asur to me forever. Hanimi li hecha deleka unsa. That's only when he's not under a pressure of an onus. Mishum d'tfe mashma le'olam mehayom. But hechad ika unsa, hach unsa mefareshna ledebure dehayom kamar. Kevan shlo amar beferush mehefech. Very important rule of the Ran. You know what the onus will do for you in this case? It'll give you the advantage on a stama. What does that mean? When the guy says, perot elu ye'asru, it's a stam statement. By the way, normally when he says, ye'asru, normally I would interpret it, le'olam. Yesru, yesru. He didn't say hayom. He didn't give it a time. You don't give it time, I say it's forever. But you know what? Since he's under duress, because the guy's trying to take his money, so I'm going to say that when he said perot elu ye'asru stam, and in his brain he's only thinking today because he doesn't want the guy to take the perot, I'll say, well, you know what? The devarim shebalev, under an onus, can give him the interpretation on a stam. Good, you got the difference? If he said it explicitly, perot elu ye'asru le'olam, you said it already. I mean, devarim shebalev. Now, but I was thinking in my brain that I want to eat these tomorrow. I'm just trying to get the guy the tax collector. Too late. You said the word le'olam in devarim shebalev. Over. Also, the case is talking about where you said stam. Devarim elu asurim alai. How long? The guy really wants only to say it today. He don't want it to be said it forever. But he didn't say that. He just said a stam language. Since you're an onus, the onus helps us interpret his lashon. That what? We'll say that's only it's only for today, which means the words are not going to be hal. The perot do not become asur forever. Now, before we finish Dara, let's read this in the Gemara. Gemara begins. Hechi nadar. What's the case? Amarav Amram, Amarav. Be'omer, ye'asru perot ha'olam alai, im enan shel bet ha'melech. Good. He says that the perot over here are going to be asur if they don't belong to the king. Kevan damar yasru. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Once already he said yasru, itziru ale kol peri alma. Once he makes that statement, so it's going to be asru. If he says yasru perot ha'olam alai, finish, it's over. He made an edir. It should be yachal. Says no. Be'omer hayom. He said, he didn't say forever. He said yasru perot alai hayom. Which means the fruit are going to be asru to me today if they don't belong to the king. So the Gemara says, "Ida marayom look no mekabel mine moches." Exactly, which means if the guy is going to come along and say, "Hayom," the tax collector is not going to accept this thing. Today's be asut. Okay, then I'll come back tomorrow and take it. What does that mean? He's not going to believe him. Which means that he's going to come back tomorrow. Take it today. He knows he's fooling around. This apple's asut to me today. If this is not, why only today? Trying to get rid of me. So he cannot say the word Hayom. So it says, "Be'omer b'libo hayom u'mosi b'svatav setam." The case was we talked about, like we learned in the Ran. He's saying in his heart hayom, but what comes out of his mouth? Setam. Perot elu yasru. What is he thinking in his heart? Hayom. Oh, what do you mean? Devarim shibalev. So Gemara says, "V'afagav d'sviran devarim shibalev enam devarim l'gabe onsin shani." That what? But by a case of an honest, it's different. Like we said in the Ram, that what? In an honest case where the guy said a stam, will take the Devarim Shebalev into consideration that he meant Hayom. Good? Now the Ram has a question. Basically what we're saying over here, when a guy gives a stam language, and you're under honest, you're able to use the Devarim Shebalev to your advantage. That's what the law is. When you're under an onus and you said a stam language, you can use the Devarim Shebalev. So look at the Ran. The Ran comes along and says, "Mihu." See the Ran? Go to the Ran. Find it. It's right where we left off in the Ran. Umihu. Umihu nihida chamaskin de belav unsa le'olam mashma. Without an onus, it's mashma le'olam, this stam statement. כיוון דסתמה כאמר, ואפילו אומר בליבו היום, לא מעני, אפילו אחי. מי שגמר בליבו לדון מפת חיטים. You have a guy. In his heart, he's decided he does not want to eat wheat bread anymore. What's osir wheat bread on himself? ואוציא פת סתם. Well, what came out of his mouth? פת. יאסרו פת עליי. He didn't say פת חיטים. Lo amrinan kevan distama ka amar veleka unsa. Well, this is a case of stam. He's not under onus. Shiye asur bechol pat. Maybe he should be asur no pat. Why? He said pat yaser alai. What is pat mashma? Every pat. He comes to the Lord, but I meant in my heart I was thinking pat chitin. He wasn't under onus. The rule is if you're not under onus, stama means everything. Therefore, every bread should be asur to him. That's no. It's not so. Why? Let's take the case where the guy was under onus. When he came along and said, "This perot is going to be asur on me," he didn't say how long. He just said perot elu yasur. What is he trying to make it sound like? Le'olam. He wants to make the deal with the moches. So he's got to say a language that's mashma le'olam. Just that he doesn't want to say the word le'olam, because if he says le'olam, then he's stuck. So he just says perot elu yasur. He's relying on his devarim shebalev to undo it. So in that case, where your words have intent to mean le'olam, so that when there's no onus, then already it's going to be asur le'olam. Masha'enke, when the guy's being osir himself on pat, his intention was only to really be osir himself pat chitin. And there's no reason why he should have said pat, only if we explain it that he got tongue-tied. Which means itkal min lule, which means he said yasru pat, and he got flustered and he didn't say the word chitin. Because there we have no reason to assume that he wanted to osir all pat on himself. He really wanted to osir pat chitin from the beginning. He just thought he got flustered in his language. Mashiach, and here, He meant it. He meant it to sound like le'olam. So when there's an onus, okay, we'll give you the advantage. But when there's no onus, you said a word, you intended to, that it should be le'olam, which means in the language that you were saying, so therefore it's going to be asur. Le'olam, when a guy comes over and says pat, he never meant to say all the pats. That was never, even in his lashon, he never meant to say that. There's no reason to say that. His reason really was to say patatit. You have to say itkal milule, that his language got tongue-tied. Comes again and continues. Bet Shemai Omrim. Bet Shemai says, Makol. What was Bet Shemai's deen? Bet Shemai Omrim. B'mashu madiro, Bet Omrim, afesheno madiro. Ketzer, Amar lo, kunam ishti nehenetli. Right, he makes a neder on his wife. Ve'amar, kunam ishti ubanai. Not only am I going to make a neder on my wife, he adds his sons. Nehenim. Ve'amar, kunam ishti ubanai nehenim. Bet Shemai Omrim, ishto muteret, ubanav asurim. Bet Shemai says, the one that he had to vow becomes asur, and the one that he added banav remains, becomes asur.
But the wife is mutar,
and the children are asur. Ubet Hillel omrim edu ve'edu mutarim. Ubet Hillel says both are mutar. I mean, you can add to the ned. Amar Avuna Atana. Bet Shammai omrim. We have a braita. Bet Shammai says in the braita, lo yiftach lo b'shvuah. You cannot open in a shivu'ah. Which means don't offer just to make a shivu'ah. That the shivu'ah, this perot is asur to me, if this is not tiruma. Lo yiftach, don't initiate the shivu'ah. Ubet el omrim, af yiftach lo b'shivu'ah. A bet el says you can even initiate and say, yeah, I'll make a shivu'ah. Lebet Shammai, now the Gemara makes a diyuk. Lebet Shammai, b'shivu'ah, hu de lo yiftach lo. Habeneder yiftach lo, implying what? That a neder you can initiate. What are you talking about? Tena, we learned in our Mishnah. Bet Shammai omrim lo yiftach lo beneder. The Braita's implication goes against our Mishnah. Again, what was the Braita saying? Lo yiftach lo b'shvuah. Mashma what? Beneder yiftach. What do you mean? The Mishnah said lo yiftach beneder either. Furthermore, the two miftachu de lo yiftach lo b'shvuah. Hamidar nadar b'shvuah. You can initiate b'shvuah, but if you made a shvuah, it's okay. What do you mean? Batanam b'shvuah omrim bekol nodrin chutz b'shvuah. Mashma is mashma that you cannot make a shvuah at all, even b'di'avad. From the bright, that's mashma. Don't initiate the shvuah, but if you did it, it's okay. Also, what are you talking about? I thought according to Bet Shammai, you can't make a shvuah also. It's a double question. The question number one is on the darim. The implication of the Braita is you can initiate Nidareem, and that's not so from the Mishnah. And the statement of the Braita is what? Shivuot you can't initiate, but if you make the Shivuot, it also follows the same laws. But you talk from the Mishnah, it's according to Bet Shammai, you cannot make a Shivuot at all. Gemara's answer. Tana matnitin beneder leodiaka kohan de Bet Shammai. Tana Braita b'shvuah leodiaka kohan de Bet Hillel. Gemara's first answer, your dinim are correct. Bet Shammai of the Mishnah is correct. And do not make implications from the Braita like you did. You know why? Because the Braita chose this scenario of Shivuah not to imply Bet Shammai's law. To show you how lenient Bet Hillel is. That Bet Hillel goes so far that he'll even let you initiate a Shivuah. So how's it going to show me Kohan de Bet Hillel? You got to give me the case of Shavuah. So it says, Bet Shammai omrim lo yiftach b'shvuah. Really, according to Bet Shammai, lo yiftach afilu beneder. Like our Mishnah says, don't imply that. I'm not in the Bet Shammai side. That's not why I picked Shavuah. I picked Shavuah to tell you the next part of the Mishnah. Ubet Hillel omrim potim b'shvuah. So therefore, we thought that we can make implications on the bright. If you make implications on the bright in Bet Shammai, it's going to be sorted the Mishnah. Gemara's answer, don't imply anything in Bet Shammai. The reason why I chose the case of Shivuah is Leodiacha Kohad the Bet Hillel is Matir even Liftawach B'Shvuah. But in Chirami, Bet Shammai, you can't even Poteach Beneder. Good? Rav Asher Amar, Rav Asher gives a different answer. Achi Ketani, Bet Shammai omrim, En She'ela B'Shvuah. Ubet Hillel omrim, Yes She'ela B'Shvuah. This Braita has got nothing to do with anything. This Braita is not talking about the case of our Mishnah. Change the Girsah of our Mishnah. Change the Girsah of this Braita. The Braita was not talking about potheen, bishwa, and all this. It was giving a different law. When a guy makes a shivua, are you allowed to absolve him? So Beit Shammai comes along and says, "In she'ela bishvua." Guy makes a shivua, he's stuck. Hachamim cannot go along now and shivua is hamura. You don't absolve a guy on a shivua. Ubetelel omrim, yes she'ela bishvua. Stam, a regular guy makes a shivua. Can you absolve him or not? Look at the Ran. Rav Asher amar achi kamar Beit Shammai, "In she'ela bishvua, ve'lo mituk ma'ach b'raita b'nishba lehargin klal." Right, the Braita is not talking about the case of the Mishnah where he made a shivua to the bandits and things like that. Elachi kamar mishin ishva al davar. A guy made a shivua on an item. Lo yiftach lo hakam netid lo shivuato she'en she'ela b'shivua. Ubetele lo mirim yesh she'ela. So therefore, don't even ask questions of the Braita. Don't make implications. It's a different law of yesh shivua, yesh she'ela l'shivua, or en she'ela l'shivua.
Mishnah continues. הרי נטיעות האלו קורבן אם אינן נקססות. Person says, these נטיעות, these saplings, these trees, are going to have a status of קורבן, which means they're going to be אסור, אם אינן נקססות, if they're not going to be cut. תלית זו קורבן, this תלית is going to be קורבן, meaning אסור, אם אינן נשרפת, if it's not going to be burnt. Yesh lahem pidyon. So the din of the Mishnah is that you're able to make a pidyon. You're able to redeem them. Ran. Hare nitiot elu korban yesh lahem pidyon. Kilomar, the kiddushah hala alehem. The kiddushah is hal on these items. We said they're going to be like a korban. Aja sidichot pidyon. They're going to need a redemption. Meaning you have to take the kiddushah off the item and put it on money or something else. You need to redeem them. Ubikaram mefaresh damadi lememra. What do you have to tell me this? Mefarshina nami amai tana hay lishna diyesh lem pidyon velo tana beheja kedushot. What I was going to ask you, just tell me that they're kedushot. What do you have to tell me in a roundabout way that they need pidyon? Just say that they have kedusha. Once they don't have kedusha, so automatically means that they are subject to the law of pidyon. Comes the Mishnah and continues. Hare nitiot elu korban ad shi yiksitsu. Person says that these saplings over here are going to be consecrated until they are cut. Talit zu korban. This talit is going to be asur like a korban. Ad shetisrof, to set up until it is burnt. So the din of the Mishnah is en lahem pidyon. They do not have pidyon. Ran. Gemara mefaresh. Gemara is going to explain what that means, en lahem pidyon. We'll wait for the Gemara to explain that. V'ika manda amadiki kitani korban. Now we have to understand what he did in this Mishnah. When the guy said, "I'm magdishing the talit as a korban," what does it mean korban? He means lidme korban. V'hainu da'amar yeshlem pidyon, which means we know if a person, let's say, sanctifies something as a korban itself, there's no pidyon for a korban. A korban is kodesh; it is not pidyonable. You cannot take the kedusha off. However, if let's say you consecrate something for the value of a korban, that's called demek korban. So demek korban, you're able to make a pidyon. You take the kedusha off and then put it on something else. So the one learned the case of our Mishnah when it says that this talit is a korban means you're sanctifying it for the value of a korban. Therefore, it has the law of pidyon. And someone is saying, no, it's just a regular kunam. Nothing to do with you consecrating it with hekdesh of demek korban. You're just saying kunam. The item is asur, like a regular neder. Vaki kamar. Haren nitot talalu asurot ke korban. Like we saw many times. That one of the ways of making kunam is how? Where a person says, Hare davar ze asur alayki korban. So it's two ways of learning. If that's the case, where do you see on a kunam you can have a pidyon? Kunam, I say, this loaf of bread is asur to me like a korban. There's no pidyon on such a thing. If you want to say that this item has the kiddusha of a korban, meaning demek korban, okay, then ready to say the pidyon like a regular korban. But if I'm just sinning it on myself, Bikunam, where's pidyon? V'yesh tomar, nitid rabbi meiri, dekasaba, dekholeka, shu kunam klali. That any time you make a kunam, that's called a kunam klali. A general kunam that's osening it not only to the person himself, but it's osening it to everybody. Shinesar ala kol kekdesh, yesh to pidyon. Okay, nushita. If I come along and say, this item over here is korban for everybody. Bikunam. It has a deen of kiddusha like a korban of demek korban if I'm able to make a pidyon, even though I did it through the usage of kunam. Okay? Uchtetan lekama beperik en ben amudar kunam ki karzu ve'achla ben hu ben havero ma'al. Fikach yesh ta pidyon. Which means if he comes along and makes a kikar kunam to everybody, it's considered me'ilah if anybody eats it. Kikar zu ala yigdesh, but if he's only listening to himself, akhlahu ma'al. If he eats it, he gets me'ilah. Havero lo ma'al. Fikach en la pidyon. So therefore, this kunam is called a kunam klali. So let's just review how there were two ways we're learning the Mishnah. Either the case tomorrow, he made a kareze ke korban, meaning deme korban. Therefore, it's shayak to make a pidyon. In the second case, the other way of learning is kunam klali, adibad Rabbi Meir, that says kunam klali means asu to everybody, and therefore it's going to be subject also to the laws of pidyon. Comes the Gemara and says, velitni kedushot ve'en kedushot. Why did the Mishnah have to come along and say, in the first case, when the guy says, arin iti otalil korban, im enan excessive, they're going to be holy if they're not cut. Or the talit is going to be holy like a korban, im ena nisrefet. Right, so we said the kedusha is hal, right? So the question is, why do you have to tell me the language of the Mishnah? Yesh tem pidyon. Just speak it clear. Just say harehen hekdesh. Just say kedushot ve'en kedushot. Ran v'litni kedushot kachu ikar gersa, which means the Ran only had the first part of the gersa. V'litni kedushot. Gemara dan asking on the second part of the Mishnah when the Mishnah says enam en lahem pidyon. That we'll see why the Gemara has no problem with the Sefer of the Mishnah. The Sefer had to say in Lam Pidyon. The only problem is the Resha of the Mishnah. Why do you have to say Yesh Lam Pidyon? Say a clearer terminology, Yesh Lahem Kedushot. That's the Gersa of the Ran. So it says, V'haki Pidushot. V'adai Ikar Kedusha Detana Lomar Shafa Pishe Tela Kedushatam Betnai. The Hadush of the Mishnah, even though he put the Kedusha on a condition, that what? It's going to have Kedusha, these Neti'ot, only Im Enam Niksatzot, if they're not going to be cut. So that's already a conditional
kedusha.
So the chiddush of the Mishnah is shafapi shetala kedushan betnai zeshel ketitza kedusha chala alehin v'starik lashmin anachit chumash kaman imken v'tni kedushot. So just say kedushot. Say the actual language. The kasher lam. So the Ran has a question. Tinach lemaid mefarishim itin the korban diktani keshik dishan nitiot the dme korban askinan. I understood according to the first pshat that we learned in the previous Ran, that the case is talking about deme korban, v'kivan sheken kol chedusha detana lete ela shmina de kedusha hala alehen, which means the whole chedusha of the Mishnah is what? That the kedusha is going to be hal. Devadai milta pshita hi dekivan de kedushot yesh tem pidyon. I don't have to tell me that a kedusha damim has pidyon. That's not the chedusha of the Mishnah. The chedusha of the Mishnah is that the kedusha is hal even though it is conditional, but I don't need the chiddush of the Mishnah to teach me yesh lem pidyon. Why shouldn't I have pidyon? Every time you have a kiddushat demi mishayach, pidyon. Mishumachi parik shapilitni kiddushot. Tell me the ikar chiddush, which is that they have a kiddusha al tenai. Avali idach berushat mefarish de bikunam mamash askinan. Maika parik litni kiddushot. Dilma agav urqet tani yesh lem pidyon. De satam nakirmi meir damar kunam klali yesh lo pidyon. Da pirik rabana ale lekaman parik en ben amudar. Which means, maybe the reason why it's coming along, if you're telling me it's a case of a kunam, like Rabbi Meir wanted to say, kunam klali, that's the hadush in itself. That the Tanah is following the shita of Rabbi Meir, that when a person makes a kunam klali, yishayach pidyon. Well, that's not such a pashut item. Which is, if you're learning the Mishnah is a nyan of korban, l'deme korban, so to tell me that a deme korban, something you mekadesh b'deme korban has pidyon, that's pashut. If the hadush in the Mishnah in that case is what? That it's kadosh because she made a kiddush al tenai. Oh, good. That's why the Mishnah, the Gemara asks, "Litni kedushot, tamir ikar chedush." But if you're learning the Mishnah like Rabbi Meir, that's talking about a kunam klali. Adba, the chedush of the Mishnah is being stated. Yesh lahem pidyon, because normally a regular kunam doesn't have a pidyon. The chedush of the Mishnah is that a kunam klali has a pidyon. So therefore, what's the Gemara's question? Litni kedushot. V'nihali devaday tana lo lemistama achad Rabbi Meir ata. He says, "Our Mishnah is not obviously not going like Rabbi Meir. The imken, lama le limitni haydina b'ksisa, l'shmeina nahache gabe kunamot." Which means, why don't you just tell me this din when we learned the dinim of kunam? What do you have to attach it to a case where a guy said that the item is going to be kadosh if I don't cut it? Just say a regular case of a kunam klali. What do you have to give such a confusing case of if you were trying to teach me to be meir's kunam klali? The kevan the tana itzrik lashmeinan the bichia gavna hayla kedusha alayu bereshavi le lashmeinan hachi ulmitni kedushot ubatar hachi ishvila le kerbi meir listom kevate הכה או בעלמה, אבל מקמד לשמיעין דקדושה חלה עליהן, לא שייך לשמיעינן, יש להם פדיון. דאמר שדפשיטה לדחי לה קדושתיו, עד שלא הוצלח להשמיע, אלא שיש להם פדיון. ואדרבה, סליחה רבה, כתובבי שכמה ושמעה, כי פריק ולני קדושות. Fine, which means the Gemara is coming along to say that what even in according to Rabbi Meir, the Mishnah before tells me that it's shayach to make pidyon or not, the Mishnah should tell me the most simple hadush first. Number one, that when you have a kiddusha al tenai, if you give me the case of kitzitzot, netiot, that you did it amenat, that you're going to cut it or not cut it, the hadush first of all is that you can have kiddusha. Then tell me the next stage whether they're pidyonable or not. But the first thing you have to tell me, go in order. Who says it's kiddusha at all? So basically the question is according to everybody. Why did the Mishnah jump to the din of pidyon? It should have told me the case of that first of all, they tell me it has a kiddusha. So what's the Gemara's answer? You're right. I did the ba'il mitni sefa in lam pidyon. Tanam meresha yesh lam pidyon. Good. The sefa you had to tell me. En lam pidyon. So since in the sefa you had to tell me the din of en lam pidyon, so in the resha we also use the din of the language of yesh lam pidyon. We're just keeping it uniform. To the Sefa. Now, why in the Sefa you had to say the language in the Pidyon? So look at the Ran where we left off. The Ran is Umetaretz. It's three lines before they get wide. Umetaretz. I did the Ba'il Mitni Sefa in the Pidyon. Tana Miresha Yesh Tan Pidyon. Kilomar. The Besefa Lomatsi Mitni Le En Kiddushot. They have Vadai Kiddushot Achit Kizdiksetsu. Which means in the Sefa, the guy came along and said, what? These items are going to be Kadosh until I cut them. So for sure there's kiddusha on them. So therefore you cannot write in the end of the Mishnah, in them kiddusha. Yes, them kiddusha. You had to write in the Mishnah over there, in them pidyon. You had to discuss if they're able to be subject to the law of pidyon. So therefore, since in the Sefa, you had to discuss the pidyon aspect of it. So in the Resha, we also discussed yesh lehem pidyon. It's agav the Sefa. Again, in the Sefa, could you have said in them kiddusha? Of course not. Yesh lehem kiddusha. The only hiluk in the Sefa is they're not subject to the law of pidyon. I don't know what that means yet. I'm going to wait for the Gemara to explain what does it mean in them pidyon. But you couldn't have said yesh lehem kiddusha. So you had to use the pidyon angle. So once already in the Sefa, use the pidyon angle. So therefore in the Resha, you also have to use the lashon of the pidyon. Comes the Gemara and says, hechi nadar. But what was the case? What did he make? What was the neder in the case of the Mishnah? What's the problem? Look at the Ran. Second wide line. Hechi nadar amara pirush tashna kashyaleh. Now he came along and said in the first case, the item is going to be kadosh if it's not cut. Which means, how can you say that it's going to have kedusha? Every tree is omed l'ksisa. So therefore, since it's omed l'ksisa, how can you tell me that it's going to have a kedusha? L'chaurats. If it's not cut, it's going to be cut. So why is there a kedusha? That's really the questions on the netiot. Aval talet im ena nisrefet lo kashale. The talit la v'srefa kaima. On the talet case, we have no problem. The talet will have kedusha if I don't burn it. Okay, that's good because talet is not being omed to be burnt. The efshar shlo tisaref le'onam. Therefore I can say in the case of the talet, the kiddushah is honored immediately. How could you say by a tree, he made it on condition that the kiddushah is going to only come along if it doesn't get cut? It's not meant to be cut. So the chavra, the kiddushah should not go. So what's the case of the Mishnah that you're telling me that this is shayach? Comes the Gemara and says, Hechi nadar. First case of the Mishnah. נטיעות האלו קורבנים אינם נקצצות. אינם נקצצות. What's the case? It's always going to be cut. Eventually a tree is going to be cut. So why should the kedusha go on it? So the Gemara comes along and says, הכי נדר, אמר הממור, באומר אם אינם נקצצות היום. That makes more sense. He put a time limit. If they're not going to be cut today, ועבר היום ולא נקצצו. Okay, the day passed, and they weren't cut. Okay, so now we're ready. We understand they're going to have a kedusha. Im ken, lama li lememar? Pshita, it's obvious. He made a condition. Of course, they're going to have a kedusha if they weren't cut by that day. What is the point? Look at the Ran. Im ken, lama li lememar, kilomar? Di pshita davi hekdesh. Which is pashut, it's going to be hekdesh. So comes the Gemara and answers, lo tzericha, kegon deika zika nefisha. The case is talking about where there is a strong wind. And what is that hadush over there? That there's a strong wind. That means that when he made the neder over here, there was a very strong wind that's going to happen. So the assumption was what? That the wind's going to knock down these trees over here. So therefore, when the guy made his neder, what was the lashon of the neder? Hare neti'ot elu korban im enam niktatzot. Hayom. If they're not going to be cut today. So the Gemara said, what do you mean? And what? The day passed and they weren't cut.
Right.
So it's a pshita. What do you mean? What do you have to tell me such a case for? Isn't it obvious? So it's talking about where there was such a strong wind. Now, what does the strong wind do? If you look at the Mefaresh says, Lo tzirika go de ika zika nefisha. He says, Sheminashevet ruach kasheh ba'olam. There's a strong wind that's blowing in the world ba'olam. De masika da'ate de mitbal lehu zika. Dehainu niksasot. Which means the guy, when he made the neder, he assumed that what they're going to be cut. The saka da kamina lo gamar b'libo nagdisho. He never really had full kavanah. The item should become kadosh. Ela datet the mitbar lehu zika. He thought for sure that the wind's going to blow it down. Amarachi velo tzirike pijon. I would say maybe the kedusha never was hal on them. We said that when he says it, he means it's going to be kedusha. If the wind doesn't blow it down, bottom line is going to be kadosh by the end of the day. Even though the guy has a strong assumption to think it was going to be blown down by the wind, doesn't matter. We go what he said, and his kavanah was full kedusha. Therefore, it's going to need a pidyon. Comes the Gemara and says, v'haketanila gabe talit. But wait. The same law was said by the case of the talet. The talet, lesrefa kaima, is a talet omed lesrefa, which means over there. How are you going to explain it to me? Which means the guy came along and said that it's going to be if it doesn't get burnt by the end of the day, so the am is going to be kadosh. A pshita. It wasn't burned by the end of the day, so it's kadosh. Of course, it's going to be kadosh. It's not omed lesrefa. What's the chadush over there? So it's Gemara says in yes. It is omed de sefa. Why? Kegon di ika deleka. The case is talking about where there's a fire over there. And therefore, the chadush over there is that maybe the guy assumed for sure it was going to get burnt. So therefore, akanamed ika zika nefisha. And therefore, the same thing over here I can say in the beginning, just like at the end, you have to say this. Just like by the talit, you have to say that there was a fire imminent somewhere to make a chadush in the case. So to end the shal, say that there was a wind imminent. Therefore, sakatak de masika dalte de lo mitnatslan. He was going to think in the Avimir that they were not going to be mitnatzlan, which means they're going to be not going to be saved. That's why he made a neder. He figured something going to happen, and when it happened, kamashvaran that what the neder is had that even though they weren't cut by the end of the day and they weren't burnt by the end of the day, the neder is hal. Because you might have thought the other guy says, you know what? He's making the neder because he knows it's never going to happen. He sees the fire is going to come and burn the thing anyway. He sees the wind's blowing all day long. Right. So you know what? Yeah. If this thing is not cut by the end of the day, it's Kodesh. You might have thought, he is assuming for sure it's going to be cut. And therefore the neder is not hal. Kamashvaran, even so, he said it and he meant it fully. And therefore the kedusha is a kedusha ben by the talet and ben by the ketneti'ot. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, amen.